From WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
Welcome to the Chancellor's Report. I'm Dave Edwards. One of the things we talk frequently about in our program are partnerships between UW-Milwaukee and other institutions in the area, and today is no exception. My guest, as always, is Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and also joining us is Rebecca Kowalski, Vice President of Client Workforce Solutions at Manpower Group. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you both here. A lot of interesting things to talk about. I want to spend some time talking about the workforce talent pipeline between your two organizations. So, Mark, set this up for us. Why does higher education engage in these kinds of partnerships?
Well, it's vital for the region, flat out. We know that there has long been an opportunity as one of the largest talent providers in this area, UW-Milwaukee, with 185,000 alumni, most of whom stay in Wisconsin, and providing talent at you know, whether it's in the manufacturing and healthcare, education, the arts, in terms of elected officials, go down the line, and we've got a lot of Panthers all over the place. So we're in that business already, but we know if we look at the workforce shortage and we talk to CEO after CEO, they continually tell us that's their number one issue. And so the question is, how can we better align not just UWM, but really take not just higher ed, but really all the different sources of talent, including Manpower, which is in that business and has done so well, to really work on the alignment given what we know we need in this region. So we have formed some partnerships, and we'll talk about those today and look forward to that. But we've had for a long time a number of different types of partnerships with Manpower, but this really brings us through the regional workforce development into a whole new era, and we think it offers great promise for the future.
Mm-hmm. So, Rebecca, we all know that Manpower works with a lot of companies worldwide to provide different workforce solutions. Why are you and why is Manpower engaged with UWM on this project?
Well, UWM is, as Mark pointed out, a premier education institution. It's a gem in the Southeast region along with the entire UW system. And they have a huge interest in tackling the things that we care about, like the next generation skills. We are sitting in the middle of one of the biggest transformations of business models that we have seen in over 50 years. Mm. And that's the digital transformation that everyone is talking about, Dave, that has profound implications for the kinds of skills and roles that we'll need going forward. And so where UWM has been talking with us is, how do we get out on the edge of that thinking, not only to fulfill what the region needs today, but what's going to be needed tomorrow? We do business with 400,000 customers around the world. We place about 3.4 million people every year. So we're seeing this significant shift in roles and skills. And we are at a point where we need those educational system partners like UWM to come alongside and figure out, how do we rapidly upskill people so that they can participate in the benefits of the digital economy?
Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing here in Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin in particular, is not that different from what you're seeing in other parts of the country or worldwide?
In many ways, I actually think it's more profound. We have such a significant percentage of our economy tied up in manufacturing. When you think about a new technology like digital, which in the next 2 to 3 years will just become the technology, not the new technology, right? When it comes into contact with the traditional roles and skills in manufacturing, the transformative impact is so big. Right, because it takes a long time to build up manufacturing infrastructure and plants and set up those kinds of roles and processes. Now you're transforming the way work is done, the way the organization is structured then changes, and how leaders lead changes. So it's a pretty profound impact that's felt. UWM is sitting right in the middle of that and, you know, has a unique opportunity to help us not just transform and survive that, but actually lead it and thrive.
Mm-hmm. So, Mark, I mean, one of the things we've talked about in this program is that even the way people are perceiving higher education is changing. And so is this part of, like, addressing some of those issues and concerns?
I think it really is. You know, if you look at the aggregate level, you have nationally in this country a number of jobs that are looking for talent. in the neighborhood of 6 to 7 million. And this is where I think it's so important to work with a company like Manpower that sees things nationally and internationally and really has a good understanding of it's not just 2-year and 4-year master's doctorate degrees. It's the skills that are needed now. It's that issue. And it's Rebecca talks about digitization. And if you think about the data sciences and the transformations that are occurring throughout all types of employment, this is something that forces a question about education and the role of education. And to your point about the question, Dave, I think it really does force us to look and say, okay, how are we meeting those needs? We have at the same time, despite the record low unemployment, we have a number of people who are underemployed or unemployed still across the country. And the number, interestingly, is about the same. It's in the 6 to 7 million range as there are companies looking for jobs. But there is a lack of alignment. And that's what I've maintained for a long time. If we can work in higher ed, and it's not just UWM, it's really in the region, I think we can have a huge competitive advantage if we can talk about what those needs are and really work on innovative programs and develop certificates, develop a number of types of additional programs that give many of those skills and the competencies and the tools that are needed. At the same time, though, one of the things that UWM continues and will always pride itself on is that balance of finding the right balance between the humanities, the liberal arts, the skills, the social intelligence, communication, critical thinking, and technical skills and STEM types of skills, because we don't know what the jobs and the needs are going to be in 3, 5, and 10 years. So it's that continued focus on both of those things that I think really helps us address a lot of the questions about what is the role of higher ed in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, Rebecca, talk about the need as you see it now. You've talked about the digital future of our country and our world. So what are the skill sets that you would like to see developed as a representative of Manpower that will help that transition?
Well, as Mark said, it's both technical and soft skills. So soft skills are the hard skills. If they were easy, everyone would have them, right? It's very interesting. If you look at the World Economic Forum's latest report on the top skills in demand, you don't see a whole lot of emphasis on discrete technical skills. Where you see emphasis are on the soft skills. So creativity moved up from being in the top 10 at number 10 to being number 3 in terms of importance. Emotional intelligence, cognitive flexibility, those were the two new entrants that came in as being, hey, these are the top requirements by 2020. Think about what Mark said about the importance of a liberal arts education. The liberal arts education, that traditional education, is designed to drive these kinds of skills, develop them, hone them, help people understand how to practice them inside of a discipline. Now, the technical skills are not a trivial matter as well. And we've got a couple of paths that we have to be thinking about. One is, how do we introduce new and relevant curriculum into the traditional 4-year baccalaureate degrees, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we get more emphasis on AI, machine learning? And Mark has a number of initiatives that are geared towards getting to that outcome. But what about all of the people that are sitting in roles currently? They don't have the time to just step back and then step back in. So there needs to be flexible learning models in place for those individuals. We think at Manpower Group, the number one skill that employers have to hire for is learnability. And that is because there's just no time now. The time to value has collapsed like a pancake in terms of when we expect a return on someone's education. And so we've got to have these kinds of models of badging and certification that are much more agile and responsive to the changing needs. We've all heard the number that 65% of the jobs that millennials will do aren't invented yet today. So then what do you do? What do you do if you're a university? What do you do if you're an employer? What do you do if you're an individual? You cultivate learnability and you value adaptation and evolution of skills in a way that we haven't done in the past, where we focused on the discrete technical skill before. Now we need to look for what's underneath that in those soft skills so that people can just bring on those new technical skills on an as-needed basis.
So vastly different from what we used to experience 20, 30 years ago, where even a post-secondary degree wasn't even necessary for a lot of the jobs that were available at that time.
And they are necessary now for most jobs in this kind of advanced economy. But what I would throw out there is that the ways in which people acquire those hard skills is just going to have to be radically different. We have so many people that are currently employed in addition to those that aren't. We've got to be able to move both tracks along. Right now, the study that Mark was referring to, where we looked at the state of Wisconsin and the M7 region, and we tried to answer, well, what's going to be in demand in the next 3 years, and what does our supply of talent look like? We are short 100,000 people by 2021 in the state of Wisconsin. In the M7 region alone, 40,000. So just a significant gap, and a lot of those are driven in healthcare. So registered nurses, IT, first-line supervisors of production workers, general managers, and, of course, engineers, right, mm-hmm. which you would expect for such a heavy manufacturing state. We have to figure out how we're going to accelerate much faster. That's a huge bogey for the education system to hit.
Yeah, and Mark, when I think about a traditional university, universities aren't flexible. They don't tend to move very quickly. And what Rebecca is, I think, calling for is a higher degree of flexibility and change. How do universities accommodate that?
Well, first, let me just reflect for a moment. You know, Rebecca, you can see why she's in the role that she's in. She is such a great spokesperson for really capturing some of the important trends and much of what the workforce needs are. And frankly, Dave, reflecting on that, just I think your question is the perfect one. So how are we responding? What does higher ed need to do? And I think if you look at higher ed nationally, conceptually and historically, we've not been as agile. We've not been really dynamic. And so that's what's exciting about being close to this and really having this partnership with Rebecca and others in the M7 and in this region to say we can and are responding. And we're developing programs that are innovative, we're cutting edge, we're helping create that skill set using the knowledge that you have at a Research One university to really be able to showcase a lot of premier programs that help meet these needs. But we're also working collaboratively, and this is through the Higher Ed Regional Alliance, to bring innovative programs and interests and really asking important questions and creating pathways so that students can access employment, and especially employers can help develop that learning path through internships, through co-ops, through communicating on advisory boards, helping develop curriculum, and really bringing higher ed and industry closer together. Only good can happen with that when you have the university foundations of you know, lifelong learning and looking at this in an important way. But I think if you also you know, thinking about what Rebecca talked about in terms of those numbers, and we look at the demographics in the state, that's a real concern because across the Midwest, we don't have the numbers. We have a birth dearth that has gone on for some time, and so you see high school graduates declining, college enrollments declining, and that's particularly acute in the Northeast, in the Midwest, but it's a national issue. So who's going to fill that talent pipeline? And so we have to work even harder on better alignment of those students who do come through for the existing workforce needs. But we also have to look at, one of the interesting studies right now that we're focusing on is that the idea that by 2022, 2023, half of the existing workforce skills will need to be dramatically changed. So half of the workforce that are in place today need to have a very different skill set. And this is this digitization. This is this concept, you know, when we talk about, you know, is your job robot-proof? Well, there's a lot of jobs that may be automated. There's a lot of jobs that can go away. Can higher ed help in that area? And that's a particularly unique partnership that we're exploring with Manpower in terms of, given how embedded they are in so many workplaces globally, here's an opportunity for us to partner, to be, we hope, from a visionary perspective, one of their partners that helps them help solve a lot of those issues for existing employees. There are, of course, opportunities for a lot of individuals who are either underemployed or unemployed today as well. And one of the big answers is through online learning and through using flexible platforms for quicker learning.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk in just a second about what specifically your two organizations are doing now. But if you just joined us, you're listening to the Chancellor Report on WUWM. My guests are Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Rebecca Kowalski, Vice President of Client Workforce Solutions at Manpower Group. So we've talked in the last couple of minutes about the issue, the problem. Let's talk specifically about bringing Manpower and UWM together. Rebecca, what's happening right now? How are you launching initiatives to address some of these issues?
Great question. So the conversations, the exploration that Mark is talking about is really tied to some of the research that we have done as Manpower in identifying specifically what roles are going to actually be generated through digital transformation. We've looked specifically at manufacturing in depth. We had a partnership or have a partnership with the Digital Manufacturing Design Innovation Institute, bit of a mouthful there, DMDII for short, in Chicago. And they are, you know, really tasked with looking at digital innovation in manufacturing across all sectors. And the question they asked us is, well, what are the future skills that will be required? We're pretty sure what the technology will look like, but what's the impact from a workforce perspective? So we did the work to say, okay, in the next 5 years, what's likely to emerge? How are roles and skills likely to evolve? And we identified 165 roles that will either evolve significantly or be net new, things that people haven't heard of. And how would we prepare for that? Now, Mark just walked through the birth dearth, right? We don't have enough workforce coming in. So we have to do a lot with the current workforce, and we have to do a lot with the, you know, under-tapped, underemployed workforce. That's what we have to work with. And so the exploration has been around, well, how will we create quick paths to certification? It's less about a remanufacturing, if you will allow the term, of a baccalaureate, a reengineering of that. It's more about how do we take people that are currently in the workforce or untapped parts of the workforce and rapidly upskill them. And so that's what we've been looking at is what kind of existing curriculum and expertise is there that could be lifted and put into place to benefit the entire region.
Mm-hmm. Mark, this sounds like a real game changer for a university such as UWM, because UWM is traditionally, and all universities are traditionally set up so that you come in as a freshman, and 4 years later or thereabouts, you graduate and you get a degree and then you go get a job. I think what Rebecca's saying is that model isn't really the model that needs to be followed in all cases.
You're right, and it raises a really important question. I do think that two-year, four-year master's professional degrees are going to continue to be important, but I think that we're seeing a rise and a change even for those who have those degrees, and that's what part of this is. So it's really interesting. We're taking a look at this. When I say we, I'm currently the chair of a national group. It's 21st Century Workforce for Urban Serving Universities. It's the Coalition for Urban Serving Universities. And we're looking at these trends. And this is not unique to southeastern Wisconsin. And that's the power of working with a Manpower that has great research on these trends. The specific examples in this region that I would point to, some of the things that I think are great opportunities that Manpower and Rockwell Automation have been involved with an Academy for Advanced Manufacturing. And while the training and certification in that field has been really Rockwell-centric, Manpower's part has been to help find a lot of the individuals who can enter that program and then help place them with Rockwell afterward. UWM happens to house those students. We have a lot of experience working with veterans. You probably know we're the largest place. We have more veterans on our campus than any other campus in the state of Wisconsin. We're a silver medal friendly, military friendly organization. We pride ourselves on that. So we have done, a good job in terms of that part of it. But we look at that program and we say it is not credit based in the academic sense. It is not online. But if we want to scale that program to have military veterans who are the primary students in that program today, if we want to both help them in the academic credit and also scale that to the program potential of 1,000 students a year, how can we either go online and work with our partnerships with other universities, colleges to help them scale that. So we're actively engaged in those types of discussions as well. But the online aspect in particular, that's where there's a great potential in what we're exploring with Manpower. With UWM, you have the campus that has more online students than any other in the state of Wisconsin. We have over 10,000 students online, and we have skill sets in terms of taking curriculum, identifying needs, and putting it into compartmentalized knowledge. And that skill set, with the knowledge and the types of research that Manpower has provided around the competencies and skills that are needed, it's working on those alignments and finding that model and that package. And so that is going to help employers, and we want to pilot and do some of that work in this region. But think about the national and international potential for that. So we think from a visionary perspective, there could be some great opportunities there that are going to help both the community and communities writ large, and employers and the universities. So there's a lot of opportunities here.
So how does a university pivot financially to be able to start programs like this and make them a reality when, you know, budgets for universities are tight?
I think this is where we can't do this without partners. And when I say that, everybody brings different skills and different resources to the table. We have a lot of in-kind investments. We have faculty and staff, and we have made investments in the technology and the capabilities to be able to deliver the programs. But an organization like Manpower, and oftentimes working with a third party, it may be a client or clients or a consortia of different clients that want to make investments to really find something that is specific for them. So, for example, the Business Roundtable, which is the Fortune 200 and Fortune 250 companies in this country, have worked with the Business Higher Ed Forum to look at a lot of these same types of trends. And so we're having explorations with them. And Rockwell is the leading, Blake Moret is the president, CEO of Rockwell, and he's the chair of the Regional Business Roundtable Group. And while there's a lot of focus on industrial manufacturing with his interest, this is another area where I think working with partners, we can form those coalitions to find the funding and help support that.
Rebecca, I was fascinated by something that you said earlier, and that is really it's, you know, there's a lot of skills that are needed, a lot of jobs that are being created we don't even know about right now. And so there is this need for flexibility on the employer side and also the employee side, I guess. You know, in the last couple of weeks, we've been reading about Foxconn and how that situation may change from what was originally envisioned in Milwaukee and the types of skills that employees will need to work for Foxconn. I imagine that that's replicated in many different respects, that what is written about initially in a business plan changes before there's actual need. So how does that work in the way you're envisioning this kind of cooperative effort with universities preparing people for these jobs when it keeps changing? You know what I mean?
I think it comes back to, Dave, what I was talking about before, which is the importance of learnability, adaptability, and agility. I think it is also true that in every single case for every single organization that's growing and thriving right now, on the hard skills side, the emphasis is on those IT and technical skills, those so-called STEM skills.
Right.
And so when you think about an organization saying, we're going to do a pivot, we're going to put more on R&D, we're going to put more on science, you could write that story about just about every large organization in the world as they try to cope with how digital is transforming their customer base, how it's going to transform their processes, and how they're going to have to rethink products, services, and solutions, and do that in real time. So I think you're going to see that just like Mark describes the university trying to be more flexible and nimble, organizations are going to have to get comfortable doing something they're not comfortable doing either, which is reshaping themselves, retooling themselves, rebalancing the weight of the skills that they need to take them into the future on a real-time basis, as opposed to having a plan that requires everything to be firmly fixed and unmoving for, say, 5 years. That's an uncomfortable space to be, and you can kind of do the math in your head in terms of thinking, well, how does that translate into what an individual needs to be successful,
mm-hmm.
right? It is not, I get my degree, it's in a discipline, I have a very formulated career path. It is going to be, I promise you, wildly different from that. There will be some things that don't change, right? But certainly the environment, the speed, the agility that's required, that is a different playing field for all of us, and we're going to have to get very comfortable with it.
Yeah, it's going to need some people to be very flexible. And we're running out of time, but let me ask both of you this question. A year from now, if we gather back before these microphones and we talk about what progress has been made, what do you want to see, Rebecca, in terms of where this collaborative effort with UWM, what do you want to see in the next year?
Well, we know what the gap looks like in 2019, 2020, 2021 in terms of what the region requires. And so what I'd like to see is that we have moved the needle in terms of closing the gap, and that we have actually taken all of those educational resources that Mark is talking about as part of the Higher Education Regional Alliance, or HERA, that we have been able to point them all in the same direction, and we can tie the gap closure to the initiatives that those folks have underway, because employers are expressing the demand, right? Mm-hmm. And we need the supply to catch up. So bringing those two-point bridge spans closer together, that's what I would like to see, and that it's measurable.
Mm-hmm. Mark, can UWM do that?
Absolutely. We're heading that way right now. You know, for 18 to 20 higher ed organizations to come together, that's a win. Just to have the meetings that we've been having and have the spirit of collaboration, that's unprecedented in this region. And for them to really be paying so much attention to the dynamics in the workplace in this way is huge. But now we need to capitalize on that and turn that corner, and we're doing that around both college completion, getting more students through. If you look at the national numbers, we're not even at 65% in terms of the number of students who start 2 or 4 year education and complete ever. So that needs to be closed. We need to get that gap closed. We need to have the pathways from education to the workplace and vice versa, and do that in a manner that is much more aligned and much more productive for everybody involved. And so I really am excited about the partnerships. I do think specifically in a year, I'd like to be able to say, we have so many more opportunities where an employer can go to any one of our institutions and hire students from a lot of the different campuses. You don't have to just go to one. You really have that portal. Much of it is online. This concept of the innovative programs and the partnerships that we've got, where we've got better transitions between 2 and 4 year institutions and into the workplace, where we've got that alignment, those are some exciting, tangible outcomes that I'm looking forward to seeing. Specific to manpower and UWM, I really think there's great opportunities for us to do much more in terms of specific applications for their customer needs and the skill sets and knowledge base that we have. That's a little ambitious.
Well, thank you both for joining me today in conversation. My guests, of course, have been Mark Mone, Chancellor of University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Rebecca Kowalski, Vice President of Client Workforce Solutions at Manpower Group. Thanks to you both. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.